Department of Natural Resources. Justice Stacy is recused from this matter. Mr. Domina, good morning to you. Let's give everybody an opportunity to get in and out of the courtroom. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Dave Domina. I'm here on behalf of the Frenchman Cambridge Irrigation District. The district has a very simple request. It wants the state of Nebraska to be held to its commitment to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, a commitment upon which that court relied and upon which that court ruled. Within 1 year of the date of that ruling, the state reneged on what it committed to do with the Supreme Court and tried and is now trying to reduce the groundwater pumping restriction in the Republican River Basin by 20%. That would take from the Frenchman Cambridge Irrigation District eventually at least 1/5 of water.
Do you have standing to do that, or does the state of Kansas have to do that?
The state of Kansas could do it, not in this court. It could do it in the Supreme Court of the United States. My client has standing to do it because immediately when that happened, as our petition for review alleges, the Frenchman Cambridge Irrigation District's board met, recognized it was going to have to plan for emergency budgets, assessments, redeployments of personnel, a whole new maintenance program for maintaining dry canals instead of wet ones, dry ditches instead of wet ones, and it did all of those things preparing for what it knew would come if this order went into effect.
Counsel, the IMP was adopted by order, but the IMP itself, doesn't it contemplate specific orders? For example, on page 4 under groundwater controls, it says, in accordance with the cites a statute, one or more of the groundwater controls authorized, cites two more statutes, shall be adopted for the purpose of implementing this plan. So doesn't there have to be subsequent orders to actually implement the IMP?
No. Yes and no, Your Honor. Part of that could be done with rules of a natural resources district of the kind you dealt with in the Lingenfelter case. Part of that could be done with subsequent orders of the DNR. But none of that would have to be done with a comprehensive new order adopting an amendment to the IMP. It is the...
Well, no, you wouldn't have to change the IMP, but the IMP itself authorizes the other entities to adopt specific orders, correct?
It does. And so the order that adopts these three IMPs, and really they're one instrument because no one of them is effective unless all three of them are somewhat like an enabling statute. Once it's enacted, the enabling statute permits other things to occur in the future, but only within the confines of the enabling statute. So here what we have is three IMPs adopted by one order, doing certain things, enabling certain other things to occur in the future. Without this IMP, those other things couldn't happen.
Now, counsel, also in the section that you're concerned about where it goes from 25 to 20%, in that same sentence it says baseline pumping volumes under average precipitation conditions. What if you have an above average year? Then what would happen?
Well, I don't know what would happen in that year. There may be less pumping. That decision will be made by the farmer.
Well, that's done. That there's an annual review, though, isn't there, counsel, according to this very same IMP?
Well, the annual review doesn't change the 25% to 20% pumping restriction. It only impacts the amount of water that is available so the NRD can decide whether more inches can be pumped.
But if there's an above average year, you may not get a reduction if there's above average precipitation and they allow more pumping, correct?
It's certainly true. That's true, Your Honor. And it's certainly true that our need to exercise our legal rights might be affected by what occurs in nature. But the law follows nature. It doesn't precede it. And in this case, our concern is about the law. It's not about nature. If nature gives us a remedy by blessing us with abundant water year after year, so we're all happy and no one is concerned, there is only one legal risk, and that is that we become complacent and don't plan for the years when it's dry.
So I think ultimately the question is, are you here prematurely?
No. And the reason we're not, Your Honor, is because there is no way for us to get at this issue in a dry year. We would be injured. The fact would have occurred, and as a matter of fact, has occurred. We can't put that before you from the record because we were dismissed without any proceedings. You have only our petition for review and the IMPs before you. But as a matter of fact, if we were to say, well, let's just wait and see if it rains and the crop dies in August, there's no remedy in September. It happened last year when the pumping was too great, or in that dry year for the next year because the pumping was too great. And so the law has to anticipate those things. And our approach to making sure that the law is abided by has to anticipate those. And all of those things, Your Honor, considered about what might be done and might not be done in the future really pale against this. Nebraska told the Supreme Court its standard would be a 25% reduction. As a matter of fact, it committed to that. It asked for a finding from the Supreme Court based on that promise, and within a year, it reneged on the promise. Now, that's a legal problem, and that legal problem can't be fixed by a rainstorm. That's why we're here. What possible justification can be offered for that? And in terms of who can raise that issue, the political
question being not only who can raise it, but what is the appropriate forum?
I'll get to the forum question next. On the question of who can raise it, nobody's harmed by that more than we are. Nobody else has suggested they're harmed by that more than we are. And if you line up what you said constituted making a party suffer an injury in fact and become aggrieved for purposes of review in your central irrigation case against the allegations of this petition for review, you're going to see a color match. And so that is based on what you have said. Now, which venue or avenue for review is appropriate? Well, Section 46750 says that the ultimate order which approves the IMPs in this one river basin, the Republican River Basin, constitutes an order. And the Groundwater Management Act says that orders are reviewed under the Administrative Procedures Act.
So this is your argument as to why this administrative APA process is appropriate for this issue?
Yes. This problem arises under the Groundwater Management Protection Act. That's the act Nebraska promised it was going to use to fix itself in the Supreme Court. It hasn't. So our grief arises under that statute.
What about the conflict with the APA? The APA only applies to agencies. So it would apply to the DNR, but on its face, it would not apply to the districts. What's your position on that?
You made that very clear in Lingenfelter. I understand that that's how you ruled in Lingenfelter. In this case, the political subdivisions involved can't adopt an IMP. In every other NRD in the state, an NRD can adopt an IMP, submit to the director, and get approval, and it's a bilateral act. Here, these three NRDs have to all adopt the same IMP, they have to submit to the director, and nothing is valid until the director says, I approve. So it's an agency action that is the ultimate order. And that's why the APA here hands off, or receives a handoff from the Groundwater Protection Act. The GWPA says, review it under this statute. The case and controversy requirement, which would apply to a typical agency action, is trumped by that statute, which says the review's under the APA.
Would you have other avenues?
I don't think we did, Your Honor. And I haven't, frankly, heard one suggested other than wait till after your crop's burned up and then see if you can get your water back. But you took care of that in Hill. There was no remedy there. And so that argument made by the state here has dissipated. It's gone. This is the only way to get review. And in the final analysis, the key is really simple. Why doesn't Nebraska do what it told us? Thank you
very much. Mr. Levine, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Please the court, my name is Justin Levine. I'm Assistant Attorney General, Nebraska Attorney General's Office here today representing the Department of Natural Resources. The other named defendants with me at co-counsel is Don Blanknow, who represents the Upper Pelican NRD. Just very quickly, just because he raised it multiple times with regard to his argument of unconstitutionality under the Compact Clause of the U.S. Constitution, I just want to make it very clear that what the court did in Kansas v. Nebraska was to adopt the Special Master's Report. He is trying to allege that we somehow argued very specifically for the laws that we had in the state and that they would never be changed in perpetuity. In fact, that was quite the opposite of what was actually done. And I would cite you to page 121 and 122 of the Special Master's Report, where it specifically identifies in this conversation with regard to unjust enrichment that the state of Nebraska will highly likely change its integrated management plans into the future. This was always something that was before the court, as we were on our third generation IMP at the time of that U.S. Supreme Court case. So just as a matter of that issue, I just want to make it clear that the special master had a clear understanding IMPs would be amended, and that that was the report that was adopted here by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Counsel, opposing counsel's position is that if we find there's not standing, let's say that they're premature because another order actually implements the IMP, that they don't have an adequate remedy because damage will have been done before they can do anything. What's your response to that?
Well, I believe it goes to the conversation you were having with counsel here earlier. The Integrated Management Plan is simply that. It is a planning document. It is between two entities. It's between the DNR and the affected NRD. Again, counsel is confusing some of the statutes. Again, you do not need in the Republican Basin, which the only reason that there are IMPs in the first place is that it is declared fully appropriated. You can individually, from DNR to each individual NRD, have an IMP. They don't all have to be done together. But with regard to that, it's a planning document between the state and the local political subdivision to conjunctively manage surface water and groundwater. It sets forth goals and objectives. Basically, it outlines what you have to do. And part of that is to manage the water supply so that the economic viability, social, environmental, health, safety, and welfare of the entire river basin can be achieved in the near and long term. But it also sets out the map of the geographical area that will be encompassed by the plan and identifies the surface and groundwater controls, and it sets forth a monitoring section. That's what the plan does. You then have to turn around and implement those surface water controls. When you outline those in the IMP, you're simply taking from the statute, whether it's 46.739 for groundwater.
Counsel, I apologize. I apparently didn't ask my question very well, and I apologize to you. What I'm getting at is he's arguing that if we find there's lack of standing for the arguments that you're giving, they don't have an adequate remedy because by the time they get into court, the damage is done. Could you respond to that position?
And I guess I'm taking a long way around, and I apologize. Once that plan is implemented and you take those controls from the statute and say, I'm going to implement 1, 2, 3, and 4, you then have to turn around and actually implement them. Then do so by adopting a rule and regulation or actually conducting the action that you want to. So for surface water use, the department has as a control identified in their plan that they can administer surface water users. If the department goes out and actually administers, they can challenge that plan.
When you say they, you mean the district?
Well,
the,
whoever would have an allegation of harm, whoever would actually have standing, I don't know who that would be. On the other end, with
but you're morphing this into your cross appeal, is that right? That the IMPs aren't rules or regs?
Well, if they're not rules and regs, and that we didn't have a contested case on the adoption of
okay.
the IMPs.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's where you were going with this.
A little bit. But again, back to your point, if the NRD adopts an allocation on a groundwater user and says you can only pump 9 inches, it's at that point in time that they would have an avenue for relief. They could challenge that. But they can't challenge the plan itself because it simply does not take an action against an individual. It's only between these two entities. And in fact, the legislature has prescribed the only avenue for relief if there's a conflict in the IMP, either in its adoption or implementation, between the NRD and DNR, is for them to go to the Interrelated Water Review Board. And it's the Interrelated Water Review Board that makes the decision on whether or not they make the decision on how to resolve the conflict. There's no other avenue for those two agencies to
Would the IMP take effect unless there's a compact call year? I mean, it's an effect, but I mean, does anything actually happen unless there's a compact call year?
Again, the IMP is simply a plan that sets forth a certain triggers are met that certain actions will occur. So if the plan says once it gets to a certain level of allocation within our compact, that basically you would turn around then and say, okay, that trigger's been met. We now have to go out as separate entities and go regulate the producers to be able to meet that goal objective. But again, those are separate actions that are occurring. The plan is simply the basis for what the state and the local political subdivision do in relation to the activities of either shutting people off for surface water or setting allocations or the like. And so again, the avenue of relief is not when the plan's adopted, but when the actual controls are implemented.
The activation of the plan.
Yes. And those are by separate orders or by separate rules and regulations that are adopted by the entities. That's when the harm actually occurs, not under the planning document itself. Because again, the planning document could sit there for many years without actually having any activity initiated by either one of the parties, depending on the situation. And so again, those controls are really just kind of a regulatory menu or a bunch of options that they can employ. But again, it's that employment that actually would trigger them into action and then thus result in a potential case against them. I do just want to talk about a couple things. I do want to go into the standing a little bit here because I do not believe they have standing. Under the central case, it clearly states that you have to have suffered an injury in fact. And if you compare the central versus North Platte NRD case, we're on very, very similar ground here. Basically, you do not have a situation where the plaintiffs are alleging the interests of themselves. They are alleging interests and rights of third parties. That is, all the items that are complained in the petition for review with regard to budgets, revenues, personnel, are ultimately going to be felt by an injuries to third parties, meaning their actual surface water users.
Wouldn't that argument apply to a corporation, say, nobody's injured but the shareholders?
That may be the case, Your Honor, but again, like Central, where you have a quasi-public entity here, they are simply the run-through for the water itself. So if the district has a lack of water, it's not the physical district itself that does anything, because they're simply a mechanism to provide the water to the users. And again, if the district is short of money, unlike a corporation, you would actually have the surface water users would have to pay additional assessments in to keep that irrigation district running.
So isn't the entity the aggregation of the users? And if the users have standing individually, don't they have standing collectively?
They might have standing collectively, but not through the irrigation district itself, at least according to the central case and the previous Frenchman Cambridge irrigation case that was cited in our briefs. They simply don't have any harm. And again, the plan itself did not activate anything. It did not put anything upon the actual district. It did not have individual rights affected at the adoption of the plan, and you did not compel any action or affect any property interest when the plan itself was adopted. And again, here, back to the issue.
Regardless of whether or not Central is harmed or the individual farmers are harmed, can they use the argument that the compact has been violated? And is that the horse they get to ride?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. There's no private right of action for anybody to enforce any terms of the compact unless it's the states themselves. Only the states have a right as sovereigns to challenge that. And so if the state of Kansas actually felt that we were somehow in violation of the recent Supreme Court order in Kansas versus Nebraska, they would probably sue us again, which they have multiple times. There's no private right of action under the compact clause of the United States Constitution. There's nothing that flows from that. The IMPs are simply the state's management of its water. We are not restricted. In fact, the compact says each state shall manage its own water in regards to compliance with the compact. There's nothing in that case that says we have to comply with the compact a certain way. We're free to do that. And the legislature has set that forth in the Groundwater Management Protection Act and the ability to adopt integrated management plans and then revise them. Again, every year we monitor, we assess the situation. Are there additional things that need to be done?
Can I ask you, just looking around the corner with a hypothetical, so if the problems befall the plaintiffs in the future, what course of action would they have?
Well, again,
because they find the plan problematic and the troubles befall them, then what do they do?
again, disregarding whether or not they'd actually have standing to sue, whether or not you can actually have an identifiable harm with regard to an overall regulatory scheme. At least in this case, again, 46750 says that an order shall be appealed in accordance with the APA. You don't get to disregard every provision in the APA except for I get to go into district court to make an argument. There has to be at least a contested case before the agency or the NRD before you can move forward on that. And that didn't happen here. And the district court, once they determined that there was no contested case under 84.917, they should have dismissed it for subject matter jurisdiction under the Purdy case. And so that was also in our cross-claim. But that would be the next avenue for them. If that's what they wanted to challenge, is an action of the state or the NRD is to take it back to them and have that contested case and then appeal, assuming, again, that they can allege
so a specific... So, alluding to what Mr. Dahman is saying, your version is they have to suffer the harm and then have a debate about the wisdom of the IMP.
As a pleading matter on a petition for review, they have to identify the harm. They have not identified the harm here, so I don't know how to answer that question unless you actually present a set of facts that someone
okay,
will be
thank
harmed.
You.
And so, again, in this case, they don't have standing to review that. They simply were not harmed by this. The court has every right to review this under a motion to dismiss standard. Any more questions?
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, 40 seconds.
40 seconds, Mr. Domina.
May it please the court, I am riding the Groundwater Management Protection Act course. I'm here because the United States Supreme Court imposed a legal limit on what Nebraska can do with that statute. When Nebraska said, we passed it to accomplish this goal, and the Supreme Court said, we're relying on what you're telling us, that became a limit under that statute. 135 U.S. or Supreme Court, 1058-1059, lays out the quotation where the court said, and most importantly, those plans implemented, past tense, a system for the state in dry years. It's not wait until you've suffered the harm and then pray for a remedy. Nebraska made a commitment. Hold Nebraska to it.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned and you are excused.